الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين، صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. This will be the explanation of Surah Al-Baqarah. This is the explanation of Surah Al-Baqarah. We continue. Now we reached verse 61. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى لَنْ نَصْبِرَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ فَادْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُخْرِجْ لَنَا مِمَّا تُنْبِثُ الْأَرْضُ مِنْ بَقْلِهَا وَقِثَّائِهَا وَفُومِهَا وَعَدَسِهَا وَبَصَلِهَا قَالَ أَتَسْتَبْدِلُونَ الَّذِي هُوَ أَدْنَى بِالَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٌ اهْبِطُوا مِصْرًا فَإِنَّ لَكُمْ مَا سَأَلْتُمْ وَضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الذِّلَّةُ وَالْمَسْكَنَةُ وَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ مِنْ اللَّهِ ذلك بأنهم كانوا يكفرون بآيات الله ويقتلون النبيين بغير الحق ذلك بما عصوا وكانوا يعتدون. This is one verse. All of this that you have heard is only one verse. So let us have it part by part. Yes, and remember when you said وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى. And remember when you said O Musa. لَن نَصْبِرَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ. We can't endure one kind of food. We cannot endure one kind of food. So here, the children of Israel could not endure one kind of food. What is the one kind of food that they were referring to? Subhanallah. They were referring to the best. That they couldn't endure the best of food, and that was the man and the salwa. And the man is a kind of food, as we said, which resembles, which looks like the honey, and it comes in the early morning on the tree branches. It's very delicious. And the salwa is one type of bird with, again, a very good meat. All of that, they said, we can't endure that kind. So they wanted to abandon the good, the delicious and beneficial to their bodies for that which is for lesser, lower degree. That's right. So they said, لَمْ نَصْبِرَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ. We cannot endure one kind of food. So we don't want the man, we don't want the salwa, we want a variety of food. But these things that they were looking for were lower, not equal to the value of the man and the salwa. Rather, when compared to them, it is really bad. So if someone now says, how they say ta'am wahid, one food, while we know that there are two, the man and the salwa? The answer is that overall, this man is used as a drink whereby it is put in water and taken as a drink. Or it is to be said, this is one angle to the answer, or it is to be said that what is intended here is jinsu ta'am, the kind of food. Meaning we can't endure this kind of food which is comprised of man and salwa alone. So we don't have except this man and salwa. We can't endure this. So they told him, they told Musa, so invoke your Lord for us. فَادْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ. Look at this. Look at their arrogance. فَادْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ. So here, they are asking Musa to invoke Allah. And this is one form of tawassul, seeking means of nearness to Allah through the dua of a righteous man, in this case a prophet and a messenger, through his invocation. And we will talk about this in the benefits in more details, inshallah. Now imagine this word. If we take this word, their word, invoke your Lord. But just like, let's write this. So invoke your Lord. Invoke your Lord. So invoke your Lord. Doesn't really this tells of rudeness, of really a great rudeness from them, isn't it? So invoke your Lord. Very rude. They didn't say ud'u lana rabbana. They didn't say invoke our Lord for us. You see the point? Rather they said invoke your Lord. They didn't say even ud'u Allah. They didn't say invoke Allah. You know, ادعوا لنا ربك كأنهم بريئون منه والعياذ بالله. As if they are dissociating, يعني freeing themselves. Has nothing to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is from their meanness, arrogance, disdainfulness, and foolishness. Invoke your Lord for what? يخرج لنا. So invoke your Lord, O Moses. Invoke him for us to bring forth for us what the earth grows. From its herbs, من بقلها. And the بقل is the type of plants which doesn't have a stem. It doesn't have a stem. ليس له ساق. وقثائها. And the قثاء is a small sized cucumbers. I'm sorry, not cucumbers, but rather melons. Small size, a small melon like. وفومها. Meaning a thum, it's garlic. وعدسها, it's lentils. And وبصلها, it's onions. These are known. And these, when they are compared to al-man and the salwa, which is like the quail, they are incomparable. And that's why Musa denounced their saying. He told them, أتستبدلون الذي هو أدنى بالذي هو خير. Let's have the next please, the next segment please. Would you exchange that which is better for that which is lower? Denouncing what they asked for. Then Allah said, then in the saying of Allah, اهبطوا مصرا فإن لكم ما سألتم. So go you down to any town, فإن لكم ما سألتم. Meaning this doesn't really need invocation or a special invocation, because Allah made it to grow in any place, in any land. And it is as if Musa here is telling them, it is not befitting for you to ask Allah for that which is lower and present in every land. And you know, Misr here, it doesn't mean Egypt, okay? Misr here doesn't mean the known Egypt, but Misr here means the land, towns. Now, as to the saying of some, that what is intended here is that he invoked and he was told to tell them to go to any town to find what they looked for or looking for. This is incorrect. because how could he denounce for them to ask him from this, then he goes himself and invoke Allah for it? It cannot be the case. And that's why this saying is incorrect. So the correct saying therefore, أَنَّهُ وَبَّخَهُمْ, he scolded them for that which they asked, وَأَنْكَرَ عَلَيْهِمْ, and denounced their request, وَقَالَ لَهُمْ, and told them, إِنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرَ الَّذِي طَلَبْتُمُوهُ مَوْجُودٌ فِي كُلِّ مِصْرٍ, this thing which you asked for is present in any town, in any land. Then, as a consequence of all of this arrogance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said concerning them, the next part of the verse, وَضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الذِّلَّةُ وَالْمَسْكَنَةُ, and they were covered with humiliation and misery. ذِلَّة meaning humiliation. And not only that, and they drew on themselves the wrath of Allah. So they were covered with the humiliation. فَإِنَّهُمْ أَذِلَّ لَا يُقَابِلُونَ عَدُوًا, they can't stand to face enemies. Allah informed about them, in fact, in verse 59:14, لا يقاتلونكم جميعا إلا في قرى محصنة أو من وراء جدر, they fight not against you even together except in fortified townships or from behind walls. And they were also covered with maskana. Misery. They have no courage. And they have no generosity. No courage in themselves, meaning to strive with their own selves in order to attain their goals. And they don't have generosity in terms of wealth. So they neither achieve this nor that. And there is no nation which is more miser in their hearts and more miser in their wealth more than the Jews. No nation whatsoever. Their hearts are miser and their hands are tight. Not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath was drawn them. Listen to this in Surah Al-Ma'idah 5:60. قُلْ هَلْ أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِشَرٍ مِّنْ ذَلِكَ مَثُوبَةً عِنْدَ اللَّهِ من لعنه الله وغضب عليه وجعل منهم القردة والخنازير وعبد الطاغوت. Say, O Muhammad, to the people of the scripture, shall I inform you of something worse than that regarding the recompense from Allah? Those, the Jews, who incurred the curse of Allah and His wrath, those of whom some He transformed into monkeys and swines, those who worshipped the ta'ghut, the false deities, such are worse in rank on the day of resurrection and far more astray from the right path in the life of this world. So they received the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and humiliation and misery. They were covered by all of that. Because of what? Let's have the statement. كانوا يكفرون بآيات الله, because they used to belie the signs, the proofs, evidences of Allah. So they belied the universal signs of Allah, which is related to His Lordship. And also they belied the legal signs of Allah, which is related to His commands, meaning related to the worship. You know, Allah ordered them to enter the gate of Jerusalem and say, Hitta, forgive us. They didn't obey the legal command of Allah, and they demanded for food to eat instead. Not only that, because also they killed the prophets wrongfully, transgressed against the prophets. And النبيين, there are two recitations for النبيين. The first one is, please listen to how it is pronounced, النبيين, with a stressing on the ya, النبيين. This is derived from النبوة, which means highness, which means highness, because of the high rank of the prophets. And it is said that it may be derived from النبأ, this is according to the second recitation, النبيين, light pronunciation of the because they inform from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they killed the prophets wrongfully, meaning with absolute falsehood. Why did Allah said and they killed the prophet, and then added بغير حق, meaning wrongfully? This restriction is to make لبيان الواقع, in order to clarify the reality and to scold at their ugly crime, because there can be no killing of a prophet in a justified way, no way that this could occur except with absolute falsehood. ذلك بما عصوا, that meaning that all of what you have heard now from the statements and what occurred upon them consequently because of that, that was because they disobeyed. And ma'asiyah, disobeyed, bima asaw, and this ma'asiyah, disobedience, is not performing the obedience of Allah, either by abandoning a command or committing a prohibition. This is the meaning of ma'asiyah. And they use not only that, and they used to transgress, وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ, and al-i'tida, transgression, meaning exceeding the limits, either by withholding from fulfilling what is obligated to others, or transgressing against them. This is the meaning of transgression. And the difference between ma'asiyah and idwan, the difference between disobedience and transgression, is that if they are both mentioned in the same statement, then the disobedience would mean doing the prohibited, it would mean doing the prohibited. If they come together in the same statement, if disobedience and transgression come in the same statement, then disobedience would mean doing what is prohibited. And then transgression would mean exceeding the limits concerning the commands. Exceeding the limits concerning the commands. For example, someone makes Salat al-Dhuhr 5 rak'ah. Someone makes the Dhuhr prayer 5 units of prayer, while we know it is 4. Also it is said that the ma'asiyah, the disobedience, means relinquishing the command, relinquishing what is commanded. And transgression would mean doing what's forbidden. And whether it is this meaning or that, what's important is that the children of Israel transgressed, disobeyed, didn't fulfill the obligations, didn't abandon the Muharram, the forbidden. And that's why gradually they went from one degree of disobedience and transgression to another greater in magnitude, until they belied the signs of Allah and then killed the prophets. In this there is evidence that disobedience leads to kufr, and this is the opinion of some of the scholars of Islam, that disobedience leads to kufr. Why they said this? Because when the person commits an act of disobedience, he will look at it lightly. Then the same with next one. Then the same with the next one. And the same with the third one. And so forth, until he reaches the stage of kufr, of disbelief. Meaning, when the sins build up in the heart, then it will be a barrier between the heart and guidance and light. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Mutaffifin 83:14, Kalla بل ران على قلوبهم ما كانوا يكسبون. Nay, but on their hearts is the ran, which is the covering of sins and evil deeds which they used to earn. Now to the points of benefits of this verse. First point of benefit: the meanness, foolishness of the children of Israel. Points of benefits. Yes. Why this is said? Because they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change the best food, where they can't find an equivalent or the like, to that which is less, lower in benefit and in value. They said, we cannot endure to stay on one type of food, So call your Lord. Look at this. Call your Lord, O Musa. From this statement, we know the arrogance of the children of Israel. غطرست بني إسرائيل. The arrogance of the children of Israel and their rudeness, because they said, ادعو لنا ربك. Invoke your Lord. They didn't say, invoke our Lord. They didn't say, invoke Allah for us. You know, despite the fact that they used to believe in Musa and Jesus, in Moses. This is like they're saying, look at this. This is like they're saying in the Quran, in 5:24, فَذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَا إِنَّا هَا هُنَا قَاعِدٌ. Listen to this arrogance of theirs. They said, O Musa, we shall never enter it, the Holy Land, as long as they are there. So go you and your Lord and fight you too. We are sitting right here. Rudeness, arrogance. Go you and your Lord and fight you too. The third point of benefit. That anyone who chooses the lower for the higher, then he has a resemblance to the Jews. And from those are the ones who choose the forbidden over the lawful. They have resemblance to the Jews. And from the point of benefits, that it is from the high degree of motivation for a person is to look for that which is perfect and which is best in all matters. Meaning, simply, aim high. Don't aim low. Aim high. And from the points of benefit, is that generosity and comfort regarding what we eat and what we drink, and choosing the best from the food and the drinks, it is not blameworthy. Muslims should not think that it is blameworthy, with the condition, however, that it should not exceed the limit. In the sense, the believer should not be extravagant, however, to enjoy being generous regarding the bounties of Allah from food and drink, and to choose even the best from that, the believer is not held blameworthy for that, nothing. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not denounce the companions when they brought him the good dates, instead of the bad ones. As came in Sahih al-Bukhari. However, if the person relinquishes this generosity and comfort for a legal cause, then it is also okay. As Umar left the eating to the degree of being full, and this is at the time of Aam al-Ramada, the day when the year when there was a drought. He left the comfort to eat bread and oil until his skin turned dark, and he said, how can I eat while people are hungry? So abandoning this good for a legal cause is fine. Omar chose not to eat while, you know, comfortably, while there was a drought in that year. So he said, how can I eat while people are hungry? Here there is a legal cause, so it's fine, it's okay. However, if the person abandons the good food and the drink without any legal cause, then it is blameworthy. Then it is blameworthy. Why? Because Allah, the Most High, loves to see on His slave the manifestations of Allah's favor upon him. And from the benefits of this verse, the permissibility to eat these forms of vegetations, and the melons and the garlic and the lentils and the onions, all of these things that were mentioned in the verse, we now know that it is therefore lawful to eat them. So these were lawful in the laws of Moses, and similarly in our laws. In fact, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was presented with a big pot with cooked vegetables in it, he disliked to eat them. He disliked to eat them, and he told the companions to eat. فَإِنِّي أُنَاجِي مَنْ لَا تُنَاجِي. I don't eat because I converse with those whom you don't converse with, meaning the angels. So he made it permissible for them to eat these vegetables. And similarly, at the time of Khaybar, people started eating onions. And they knew that the Prophet ﷺ disliked eating the onions. So they wondered whether the Prophet ﷺ was informed that it became forbidden. They asked the Prophet, "Hurrimat? Was it forbidden now?" The Prophet ﷺ said, "Innahu laysa bi tahrimu ma ahalla Allah." It's not up to me to make unlawful what Allah made lawful. So this made it clear that the onions is halal to eat. Now, from the points of benefit, the permissibility to relate something to its real cause. The permissibility to relate something to its real cause, which is affirmed as a legal or a physical cause. So when the cause is legal and physically proven, then it is permissible to relate the thing to its cause. under this condition. For example, if you feed a hungry person who is about to die of hunger, then it is permissible for you to say, لولا أني أطعمته لهلك. Had it not been for me feeding him, he would have been destroyed, or he would be destroyed. Why? Because the feeding was the cause behind eliminating the hunger, and destruction is known, is physical. So this is legally sound, because it is proven by way of a physical reality. As to the legal aspect, for example, reciting the Quran on the ill and he when he is cured after the recitation, you may say لولا القراءة عليه لم يبرأ. Had it not been for the recitation upon him, he would not have been cured. This is legal to say. Why? Because the cause, which is the recitation, is legally approved. I hope this matter is clear to you, inshallah. Is this clear, inshallah, to you? Okay, alhamdulillah. However, what is forbidden is that to affirm a cause which is neither affirmed by a legal manner nor by a physical way, then this is forbidden. Or that you link the will of Allah, you link it to the cause by using a letter which entails equivalence with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, concerning the first case, that you affirm a cause which is not legally approved and not also physically approved. Those who put around their necks التمائم البدعية, the innovated omelets, or they put kinds of rings or ribbons or something like this, in order to repel affliction or lift harm or something like this, as they claim. This is wrong. This is forbidden. As to the second case, to use a letter with the will of Allah, you link it to the will of Allah, as when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when that man said ما شاء الله وشئت, when he said whatever Allah willed and you, O Muhammad, willed, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam corrected him and told him, أجعلتني لله ندا, did you make me a rival to Allah? Rather say ما شاء الله وحده, rather say whatever Allah alone willed. Because if you say ما شاء الله وشئت, whatever Allah and you willed, then you are making the one addressed a rival to Allah in his will, in Allah's will. Now if someone comes and say the following, didn't Allah blame Qarun when Qarun said إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي in Surah Al-Qasas 28 78. When Qarun said إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ, this has been given to me only because of knowledge I possess. Okay, this is the statement. He said, this has been given to me only because of knowledge I possess. And Allah held him blamed for that. Blamed him for that. Why? Because he attributed the wealth that he, that Allah bestowed upon him, he attributed to knowledge, his knowledge. The answer for this, this man denied that it came from Allah initially, and therefore it is known that if a person relates something to its cause without believing that Allah is the one who made this cause, and is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the cause behind this, if he doesn't believe that, then he is a mushrik. Then he is a mushrik. Then he sets up rivals with Allah. And in summary, let us now put them all together. Whatever occurs due to a known cause has the following forms to it. Whatever occurs due to a known cause has the following forms to it. First, to relate it to Allah alone. Second, to relate it to Allah together with its known cause. For example, to say, had it not been that Allah saved me by such and such person, I would have drowned. I would have drowned. Thirdly, that you add it to the known cause alone while believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who al-musabbib, is the one who causes it. Then from this is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding his uncle Abu Talib when he mentioned his punishment. He said, لولا أنا لكان في الدرك الأسفل من النار. Had it not been for me, he would have been in the lowest level of the fire of hell, meaning his uncle. This is the third form. Fourth, to relate it to Allah, linked to the known cause with the letter ثُمَّ, with the letter ثُمَّ, For example, to say لولا الله ثم فلان, لولا الله ثم فلان, had it not been for Allah, then such and such. All these forms, these four forms that you have heard, all of them are permissible to say. All of them are permissible to say. All of these four forms are permissible to say. The fifth form, the fifth form, that he adds it to Allah and to the known cause with the letter waw, with the letter waw in Arabic. Those who can see the Arabic text, this is shirk. Then this is shirk. For example, to say لولا الله وفلان, had it not been to Allah and such and such, then this is shirk. This is ascribing partners to Allah. The sixth case, to add it to Allah and to the known cause with using the letter fa, with using the letter fa, which means and then. For example, to say لولا الله ففلان, had it not been for Allah and then such and such, then the Shaykh rahimahullah said فهذا محل نظر, this is an opened matter. It is possible that it is permissible, and it may be that it is not the case. The seventh case, that you added to its unreal cause, to add it to its unreal cause, which is not affirmed neither by legal ways nor by physical ways, then this is ascribing partners to Allah. Then this is ascribing partners to Allah. Yes, exactly. The ninth benefit, the scolding of Musa, of Moses, at the children of Israel, that the one who turns to acquire the law for that which is higher and best deserves to be scolded at. This is affirmed when Musa said أَتَسْتَبْدِلُونَ الَّذِي هُوَ أَدْنَى بِالَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٌ, you want to exchange that which is low to that which is better, which is best. And from the benefits is the following, that it is permissible for the person أَنْ يَعْتَذِرَ عَنِ الْوَسَاطَةِ إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهَا دَاعٍ, that it is permissible for the person not to act on behalf of someone if there is no need for that. It is permissible. Why? This is deducted from the saying of Musa, اهبطوا مصرا فإن لكم ما سألتم, go to any land and you will find that which you asked for. It is as if he is saying, there is no need for me to invoke Allah for you to bring you from the earth these low things which you asked for. Just go to any land and you will find it. This is how this benefit is deducted. Number 11, and this is very important, the covering of humility on the children of Israel, that the children of Israel are covered with humility, humiliation rather. This is asserted in this verse and in chapter 3 of the Noble Quran, 112. ضربت عليهم الذلة أينما ثقفوا إلا بحبل من الله وحبل من الناس وباءوا بغضب من الله. Indignity, humiliation is put over them, over the children of Israel, wherever they may be. Look at this. Wherever they may be, except two exceptions, except when under a أينما ثقفوا إلا بحبل من الله, except under a covenant from Allah. And this is interpreted to mean al-Islam, except in case of Islam, meaning if they become Muslims. This is the rope from Allah. Or the other one, the other exception, and from men. وحبل من الناس. What does this mean? And from men, it refers to the external help that they may get, to the help that they may get from people, and this is something witnessed. Now in our times, the Jews are strong due to the help and aid they receive from their brethren, from the Christians, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asserted, they are supporters of each other. 12th point of benefit, that humility and indignity covers the Jews, and this refers to the misery of their hearts and their greed, which cannot be satisfied, such that إِنَّ الْيَهُودِيَّ لَا يَشْبَعْ, the Jew never gets satisfied and doesn't cease to ask for more wealth, even if he is from the most wealthy. This also refers, this misery is also refers to that from them there are those who are miser in terms of wealth, meaning they don't have much. So it covers both situations. 13th point of benefit, that the children of Israel would not really be able to stand to the Muslims if they are faced with them through, or if they face them with the banner of Islam, because indignity covering them is because of their disobedience. So if they are fought with obedience and Islam, then there is no doubt that they will be the losers. And we know from what Allah said concerning them in 59:14, لا يقاتلونكم جميعا إلا في قرى محصنة أو من وراء جدر بأسهم بينهم شديد تحسبهم جميعا وقلوبهم شتى. 59:14, they fight not against you even together except, look at this, in fortified townships or from behind walls. Look at this. They fight not against you even together except in fortified townships or from behind walls. Their enmity among themselves is very great. You would think they were united, but their hearts are divided. That is because they are a people who understand not. And what we witness nowadays from the situation of between the Jews and the Arabs, the way it is now, is because of two reasons. Number one, lack of sincerity to Allah. Many of those who are fighting the Jews, or most of them, لا يقاتلونهم باسم الإسلام. They don't fight them in the name of Islam. And that they don't fight them لأن تكون كلمة الله هي العليا. They don't fight them so that the word of Allah will be the prevailing one. Rather, they fight them in the name of Arabism and nationalism. So this is a partisan type of fight. And that's why the Arabs never succeeded in their confrontation with the Jews. Never. And as we remember earlier, the Shaykh rahimahullah asserted that they will never even achieve any victory on them as long as they raise this banner of nationalism and Arabism and you name it. The second reason is the abundance, the prevalence of sin, major and minor, some of which may lead to disbelief. And we remember what occurred to the Muslims in the Battle of Uhud due to one sin which was committed by some of the companions, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with them. They failed. Allah described this in Surah Al-Imran in 3:152. حتى إذا فشلتم وتنازعتم في الأمر وعصيتم من بعد ما أراكم ما تحبون. And Allah did indeed fulfill His promise to you when you were killing them, your enemy, with His permission, until the moment you lost your courage and fell to disputing about the order and disobeyed after He showed you of the booty which you love. Among you are some that desire this world and some that desire the hereafter. Then He made you flee from them that He might test you, but surely He forgave you, and Allah is most gracious to the believers. No. And from the benefits of this verse, confirming the attribute of anger to Allah. Confirming the attribute of al-ghadab to Allah, of anger. And the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His wrath. This is an attribute of His attributes. However, it doesn't resemble the attributes of the creatures. We, the creatures, when we get angry, our chins swell and our face becomes red and the hair stands and we lose our temper and our senses. All of these things cannot be attributable to the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because nothing is like unto Him in all of His names and attributes. This is an attribute that fits Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it denotes His perfect greatness and authority. Some people of deviation interpreted the anger and wrath of Allah as His avenge, quote unquote, without affirming, and they didn't affirm this attribute to Allah. Others interpreted as iradatul intiqam, His will to avenge and to revenge. So according to them, غضب الله عليهم, and they drew the wrath of Allah, meaning Allah intended to revenge from them. And this is wrong again, because they don't want to affirm this attribute to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We affirm it to Allah, and nothing is like unto Allah in all of His names and attributes. And from the verse we know the 15th benefit is that the children of Israel combine both al-ma'asi wal-idwan. They combine both sin and transgression in their denials, in their actions, in their statements, in their killing of the prophets, as came in this verse. From the points of benefits, and this is also a very important one, permissibility to seek means of nearness to Allah through the invocation of someone whom his invocation is anticipated to be answered. Where is the evidence for this? They said, invoke Allah for us, invoke your Lord for us. This type of tawassul, this type of seeking means of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has been affirmed in Islam. The people used to come to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking him to invoke Allah for them, concerning the case when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that from this ummah, from this nation, 70,000 will be admitted to paradise without reckoning and without punishment. So one of the companions told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ud'u Allah an yaj'alani minhum, invoke Allah for me to make me from them, from amongst them. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, anta minhum, you are from amongst them. So this tawassul, seeking means of nearness to Allah, is permissible. However, the question is it something needed or not? Is it something needed or not? The answer, إِذَا كَانَ لِأَمْرٍ عَامٍ فَهُوَ أَمْرٌ مَطْلُوبٌ. If the reason behind it is due to a general affair, then it is needed. For example, it is permissible, it means, for a person to seek means of nearness to Allah through the invocation of someone whose invocation is anticipated to be answered in a matter which is of concern to the general Muslims. This is no problem with that. The proof for this is in the case when Umar ibn al-Khattab, the second caliph, the second leader of the believers, may Allah be pleased with him, when he asked Al-Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib to invoke Allah for rain for the general Muslims, and also even before this, in the case of that person whom we mentioned when he came to the Prophet ﷺ while he was in the mosque giving the Friday sermon and asked him to ask Allah for rain. So this is for the general welfare of the Muslims. However, if the reason behind this is something private, then it is of two types. If the person seeking someone to invoke Allah on his behalf, intending, look at this, intending to benefit this salt. Because you know, if you invoke Allah for someone, Allah will give you the same. When you invoke Allah, O Allah, give such and such person from your bounty, from your favor, bestow upon him. O Allah, have mercy upon this person. Then Allah gives you the same. Because the angel will say, Ameen, وَلَكَ بِمِثْلِهَا, and for you the same. So if your intention, you come to some person and you ask him to invoke Allah for you, if your intention in order to benefit this person, because when he makes this invocation for you, Allah will give him the same, then this is a way that you are doing good for this person, isn't it? You are doing good to him, then it's okay. However, if your intention when you ask him to make dua, to invoke Allah for you, if it is purely for yourself, then this shouldn't be the case. You shouldn't do that. Even some scholars are with the opinion that it is blameworthy to be purely for yourself. And the Shaykh rahimahullah asserted the following advice to everyone, saying, وَأَنْتَ أَيُّهَا الْأَخُ الْمُسْلِمُ, O Muslim brother, and of course Muslim sisters, إِذَا أَرَدْتَ الدُّعَاءَ, if you want to make dua invoking Allah, فَادْعُوا اللَّهَ بِنَفْسِكَ, you yourself make it. لا تعتمد على غيرك, don't depend on others to do it for you, because your invocation of Allah is worship, and it could be as such that during this invocation something may happen to your heart through this returning to him and through the humility that you may express, that could exceed even the benefit that you are trying to gain from your dua. What would occur to your heart, and from the case of humility to Allah, this feeling that you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such a state when it affects you, it's even much better than the response to your dua. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can lift you to high levels because of this state of sincerity and humility and submissiveness to Allah. So therefore the advice to the Shaykh, from the Shaykh, and I have, when this matter of tawassul comes, We know that the Shaykh rahimahullah always used to recommend for the students of knowledge to teach the people that they should invoke Allah themselves. From the benefits of this verse, that it is permissible to make preference among food, that for you to say this is better than this, and this is bad, this is good, this is more delicious, this is less delicious, it is permissible to say that. From the benefits of this verse is that the actions of Allah are linked to his wisdom. There is no action which Allah does, and there is no ruling or legal legislation that he decrees except that it is linked to his wisdom. And from this we learn also another benefit, that whenever we read something which Allah links to his will, then we should know that this is not just sheer will. However, it is a will necessitated by his wisdom. As Allah said in Surah Al-Insan, verse 76. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. Read with me. But you cannot will unless Allah wills. Now, this is not the only thing he said. Look what he said at the end. Verily, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا. Verily, Allah is ever all-knowing, all-wise. Telling that his will is linked to his wisdom. From the benefits of this verse is that the children of Israel, in addition to their transgression concerning the rights of Allah, they also transgressed against the slaves of Allah when they killed the prophets. Not only that, they killed the prophets and they killed those who used to enjoin what is right. This brings the end of the benefits of this verse 61. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.